This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
Hey, how you doing this week? I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME in Ellsworth, Maine, and this is ARRL Audio News for February 18th. Happy to have you with us. After being postponed because of the COVID-19 pandemic, visitors to the Orlando Hamcation 2022 and the ARRL National Convention there got to rediscover radio February 10th through the 13th. This marked the 75th Hamcation, which typically attracts upward of 20,000 visitors. In addition to the chance to meet old friends in person and hit that flea market, Orlando Hamcation and ARRL offered a broad range of forums, presentations, and social events. Kicking off the ARRL National Convention's 4 training tracks was Contest University, which made its Hamcation debut just ahead of the show on February 10th. The Emergency Communications Academy training track offered a panel of nationally recognized experts and trainers who covered current protocols, techniques, and responsibilities for the Amateur Radio Volunteer Service public safety entities. The Amateur Radio Emergency Service, ARES, topped the list of discussion topics: message handling during emergencies using WinLink and emergency power were some of the others. More than 120 people attended. Popular YouTuber Josh Nass, KI6NAZ, guided the hands-on handbook training track, which covered such topics as parks on the air, amateur satellites, basic amateur radio programming, and remote operating. Topics featured in the Technology Academy training track included SWR, compliance with the new FCC RF exposure rules, digital communications technology, digital television, and solar cycle 25 and space weather. 2022 is going to be another big year, ARRL CEO David Minster, NA2AA, told those attending the National Convention luncheon on February 10th. Registration is open for the in-person portion of the 2022 Hybrid HamSci Workshop. Space weatherwoman Tabitha Scove, WX6SWW, will be a featured guest. The 5th annual HamSci Hybrid in-person and virtual workshop will take place March 18th and 19th at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama. The theme of the 2022 workshop is the Weather Connection. This workshop will also serve as a team meeting for the HamSci Personal Space Weather Station project, a National Science Foundation-funded initiative to develop a citizen science instrument for studying space weather from your backyard. The 2022 HamSci workshop is organized by the University of Scranton in collaboration with the University of Alabama and NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. In-person workshop registration closes on March 7th. Virtual participation is free. Registration for the virtual workshop will be available in early March. A tentative workshop agenda has been posted at www.hamsci.org. This is ARRL Audio News, heard in Cocoa, Florida, Mondays at 6:45 p.m. on the 146.94 repeater, courtesy of LISATS. Time now for the AMSAT report. Do you know of a school that would like to get involved in teaching how satellites work? Would you like your very own CubeSat simulator? The AMSAT Education Department, along with Alan Johnston, KU2Y, have developed the AMSAT CubeSat simulator. The basic simulator is low cost and runs on solar panels and batteries. It transmits UHF radio telemetry and was designed with a 3D printed frame. There are additional sensors and modules which can be added for more experiments. Schools can even request a loaner system from AMSAT. Demos of the CubeSat sim have a light to represent the sun and a turntable to rotate the simulator. It's interesting to watch the telemetry as the solar panels are illuminated and then go into eclipse and see the effect on battery charging and discharging. Just a few of the things you can do with the CubeSat simulator to visualize what is actually happening. For more information, visit CubeSatSim, all one word, .com. The AMSAT report comes to us each week courtesy of Bruce Page, KK5DO. The application period for the second camp for young amateur radio operators in North, Central, and South America is now open at youthontheair.org for radio amateurs aged 15 to 25 interested in attending. The Youth on the Air camp is set for June 12th through the 17th at the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting in Westchester Township, Ohio. The submission deadline is March 1st. Applications received before the deadline will be given selection priority. It costs nothing to apply, but a $100 deposit is required upon acceptance. Scholarships and waivers are available. Campers are also responsible for transportation when arriving to and departing from the camp hotel. Travel during camp events is provided, however. Travel assistance may also be available, especially for those traveling from outside the U.S. Campers will be selected and notified by March 15th to encourage attendance from across IARU Region 2. Slots will be held open for campers throughout the Americas. If positions become available, these will be filled from the waiting list. Changes in COVID-19 pandemic status and CDC guidelines and restrictions between now and June may impact plans to host the camp. For additional information, get in touch with Camp Director Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, at director@youthontheair.org. The 3Y0 Bouvet Island de-expedition has confirmed January 6, 2023, as its date of departure on board the vessel SV Marama. The de-expedition will make the second most wanted DXCC entity available for the first time in several years. The de-expedition will run for 44 days overall with a contingency week for added flexibility. It'll feature 12 stations with 8 CW or SSB stations and 4 FT8 stations. Operators aim to log at least 200,000 contacts. The de-expedition emphasized that the FT8 radios will not be run in unattended robot mode. During peak times, they'll run up to 12 radios simultaneously with minimum downtime. The 4 FT8 stations will run 24/7 so that these can either be run by one operator separately or run by any other operator in a simplified SO2R setup. Keep up with the de-expedition's plans and preparations via the 3Y0J website, www.3y0j.no. and the 3Y0 Facebook page. ARRL Audio News is heard in the Villages, Florida, Friday at 7 p.m. on the 444-575 repeater, Saturdays at 7 p.m. in Fusion Digital on the 444.575 repeater, and Sundays at 7 p.m. on the 145-21 repeater, courtesy of the Villages Amateur Radio Club. You've already heard that a geomagnetic storm on February 4th significantly impacted the launch of some 49 Starlink satellites, actually causing 40 of them to fail to achieve orbit. The company said the satellites were intended to achieve low Earth orbits after being sent aloft on a Falcon 9 launcher. Starlink is a satellite internet constellation operated by SpaceX to provide satellite internet access. Space weather forecaster Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW, analyzed the incident in considerable detail in a recent update on YouTube.
I'm sure they did plan around it. The problem is the CME arrived And then a second one arrived, and then a third one arrived. And they were all in our observations, they were all kind of crushed together. So we had a hard time seeing the ones that were kind of hiding behind. It was actually like a little train of solar storms all together. And we just didn't know. So when the first one arrived, everybody went, oh, good, it's here. It's gone. Let's take a look at the conditions. No, the conditions are good. Let's fly. And then whammo. I mean, and you'll see that in just a second. It was almost like the sun played a trick on everyone. And remember, what makes a solar storm strong is not the part you can see. It's the part you can't see.
A preliminary analysis showed the increased drag at low altitudes prevented the satellites from being moved into higher orbit. A clandestine radio station, yeah, they still have those, started appearing in late December on 3.5 and 7 megahertz, broadcasting on USB. The signal could be heard throughout Europe with programming in both Italian and English, directed against government COVID measures. Daniel Müller, DL3RTL, the IARUMS coordinator from the German Amateur Radio Club, DARC, said he was able to determine the approximate location of the transmissions, and DARC intruder monitoring cooperated with the German Telecommunications Authority to work with their Italian colleagues to obtain measures that led to termination of the clandestine transmissions. As in the past many months, January saw many high-power over-the-horizon radar intrusions. These can cover significant segments of spectrum. Transmissions from broadcasters Radio Ethiopia and Voice of Broad Masses continued on 7110 and 7140, respectively. And that's ARRL Audio News for Friday, February 18th, 2022. For more details on these and other amateur radio news stories, visit the ARRL website, www.arrl.org, or even better, subscribe to the ARRL letter. It'll turn up in your mailbox once a week, and it's free. Let us know if you listen to ARRL Audio News with an email to audionews@arrl.org. For now, I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME in Ellsworth, Maine, 73, and we'll see you next time, everybody.
ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.